Is it true that states like Kansas and Arizona are trying to pass Jim Crow laws that are highly discriminatory towards one group of people in the country?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, friends, I am in Nashville, Tennessee right now attending the National Religious Broadcasters Conference. I've broken away for a couple of hours, set up with my portable radio unit to do high-quality revolutionary radio from anywhere in the world. It is my joy to be with you today, Michael Brown. Welcome to the Line of Fire. Here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-384-8784. You know, friends, I am a gospel-focused person. I am not primarily focused on the culture. I'm certainly not primarily focused on politics. I'm not primarily focused on economy. All these things are issues, but I'm primarily gospel-focused. That's my mentality. That's my orientation. Living for God, knowing God, making Him known. But I do not separate that from being in the world and making a difference in the world. I do not separate that from standing for righteousness. I do not separate that from having a social responsibility. So the great emphasis of our lives is the Great Commission. The great emphasis of our lives is Jesus changes us and we go with that life-changing message. We go and we share that with those that are hurting and with those who don't think they're hurting. We bring the good news of transformation through the gospel. Now we get transformed. Here's the question. How do we live? Now that we've been changed, now that we're, quote, saved, now that we're born again, how do we live? We're still in this world, aren't we? We still work jobs. We still see people. We're still in neighborhoods. Most of us still have kids that are going to go to school. How do we interface with the society? As believers? Of course. So as changed people, we have a holy responsibility in the society. And when it comes to the, quote, culture wars, some laws that have been passed or in the process of being passed or being debated, debates about morality in other countries, in India, Nigeria, and Russia, and Uganda, and other countries around the world, what is our response to be? This is not something that I went looking for, friends. I didn't say to myself 10 years ago, you know, my life is not busy enough. Ministry is not exciting enough. Ministry is not fulfilling enough. I need to add some extra things to my plate and become more controversial and more hated. No, these are things that came knocking at my door just as they're knocking at your door. And friends, I got some audio clips to play for you today. You're going to realize this is an issue and these are issues we simply cannot avoid. These are things knocking at our door. The question is, how will we respond? I don't have any details, just a side note. I don't have any details on this right now, but I wrote an article. You can read it, charismanews.com. Just go to my website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. Click on latest article. It's called, What Are They Smoking in Colorado? I started that article the end of last week, came out over the weekend, certain places, but you can read it now, askdrbrown.org, click on latest article, What Are They Smoking in Colorado? And with the legalization of pot and it being accessible to people 21 years and older, it's coming out in different forms now. I just heard, haven't found out more about this, but I just heard from another TV host that there were brownies or cookies or things that kids would eat that were laced with marijuana that were found in Texas that had been shipped to a store or for distribution in Texas from Colorado. Now this is legalized. It's part of the moral insanity of our day. Got a question for you. We come back. Do we as Americans have a moral imperative to speak to other nations about morality? When can we speak? And when are we just being hypocrites?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire as I come your way live from Nashville, Tennessee, breaking away from the National Religious Broadcasters Conference. To do today's broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Nancy and I had dinner last night with attorney and columnist and activist Matt Barber, part of Liberty Counsel and Liberty University. He's been on the air with me in times past. A former professional boxer, by the way. He was a heavyweight boxer, undefeated in the fights that he had before he quit boxing. In fact, he had a nickname that sometimes the people that don't like him use to mock him, Bam Bam Barber. And anyway, we were talking about a lot of gospel-related, culture-related issues last night, and he mentioned an article he had written about sexual immorality being the chief export of America. And I have to say, as an American, in many ways, I'm proud of our country. In many ways, I'm thankful to God for our country and the positive contribution we've had to the world in many, many ways. Some years ago, Christian author Francis Frangipane wrote a book basically saying God has need of America in terms of what would the world look like if America was not here? What would the world look like in terms of, say, our intervention in World War II, in terms of other good we've done, humanitarian good around the world? And it is true. There have been many things about our country that have been wonderful and are wonderful and have helped the world. And of course, world missions has been largely fueled and funded by America in terms of numbers and finances for many years now. We've been a world leader in world missions. That's all positive. But on the flip side, you think of it, and we are the world's leader in exporting pornography. And in quite a number of other social indicators, we are really low on the moral level in terms of single-parent homes, in terms of teen pregnancies, teen drug use. And then, of course, with our gay activism, we're proud of that. Many in our nation are proud of that and speaking to other nations to get with it. But, of course, it's shameful to see where we have gone. I don't know how you feel about it, but it strikes me as quite hypocritical when we lecture other nations about morality, when we lecture other nations about marriage and family and tell them to get their act in order. To me, that is the height of hypocrisy. You can weigh in on that. I've got a bunch of things I want to talk to you about, 866-34-TRUTH. But there has been a lot of talk over the years about Uganda. And Uganda has been known for what is called the Kill the Gays Bill. That's still how it's used and phrased, even though that is highly inaccurate. And Uganda basically told America, you can put all the pressure on us you want. You can say you're not going to give us aid or help anymore when we pass these particular bills, but we would rather be isolated. We would rather be without your financial help or the help of others, and we would rather stand up and do what's right. Now, bear in mind, Uganda has many professing Christians. Bear in mind, Uganda practices polygamy, so it's a very different nation than America in terms of Christian perspective there. But Uganda has some very strong reasons for having issues with homosexual practice. There is one day a year in Uganda, which is a national holiday, which remembers these young men who basically refused to comply with the king's desires. You can fill in the blanks there. And they were killed for it. They were martyred for refusal to go along with the king's sexual desires as young men and boys. That's celebrated in a national holiday, remembering them, their courage and their Christian conviction, as I understand the story. And not only that, Uganda has been terribly ravaged by AIDS. Terribly ravaged by AIDS. The decimation there, and we're just talking about in the heterosexual community. The decimation that it's brought, some of these African nations have had a good part of a generation wiped out and kids being raised by grandparents because the parents are gone. So they've had a decimating problem with AIDS, and American aid has helped them deal with AIDS. Other international aid has helped them. They've had a program encouraging abstinence and then sexual caution and things like that. But the rate of AIDS contagion among those practicing same-sex practices, men having relations with other men, is off the charts higher. Well, that's another reason that they do not want to see it encouraged in their country. We have lectured them. We have warned them. We have threatened them with loss of aid and support if they pass the anti-homosexuality bill. But let's just put it in context. All right. I have not yet released an official statement about the bill. I've been asked to do so, and I will at some point. February 16th, President Obama says, quote, he is deeply disappointed that Uganda is about to enact legislation criminalizing homosexuality. In a statement Sunday, so about 2 weeks ago, Obama said Uganda's anti-homosexuality law would be a step backward and reflect poorly on the African nation's, quote, commitment to protecting the human rights of its people. What Uganda said is we are against gay propaganda in the schools. We are against kids being indoctrinated into these things or being told that this is normal and acceptable. We are against open homosexual practice. And you may have some laws that seem harsh and draconian. It's also part of African law and African culture. But what you need to understand that there are other issues here. This is also part of the law. This is from Kampala, February 19th. The Ugandan government said the president has signed into law sweeping and controversial anti-pornography legislation that outlaws miniskirts and other types of revealing clothing. You've got to understand in the context of Uganda, they're talking about outlawing miniskirts, other types of revealing clothing, because they find these things to be inappropriate or immodest or seductive or leading to immorality, whatever the issues are. That's the culture we're dealing with. We're talking about a culture where, until recently, adultery was illegal, that fornication remains illegal, that there are severe penalties for an older man having relations, say, with a young teenage girl, severe penalties for that, or in some cases, death penalties. All they're doing is having equivalent for homosexual relations. The new law covers a range of issues related to pornography, including child pornography, pornographic publications, and even suggestive music videos. That's all part of the laws. What we have to realize is each culture is different and distinct. And when you have a culture that is going as far as to outlawing certain dress and saying it is immodest and contrary to our culture, see, a lot of this stuff is coming in from the West. A lot of this stuff is coming in from America. Friends, Nancy and I have talked about this many, many times that we watch in India. And as I go every year in India and the culture of the West comes in, it's bringing with it immorality. It's bringing with it drug use. It's bringing with it generation gaps and with it a lot of rebellion and heartache. Whereas there had been stable family life in many ways for millennia in India. And now we are now going to turn around and lecture these nations on what is right and what is wrong. To me, it's the height of hypocrisy. 866-34-TRUTH. And I got a bunch of audio clips. Next segment, I'll start getting to them that will cause you some degree of alarm. Let's go to Sussex, New Jersey. John, welcome to the Line of Fire.
How you doing, Michael Brown? Thank you for taking my call.
Doing very well, thanks.
Blessing to me. I would first like to say that America is like no other nation in the fact that, as the scripture says, all the nations have gone astray. We're all sinful by nature. And with that being said, America is no different than any of the other nations. When God is done with the purpose he has for America, the United States, as we know it, will be done. He has a plan. He has a purpose for America. Maybe to chastise the other nations, but America, you know, exceptionalism with America, I think, is a lie. You know, we're no different than the other nations. And as far as the morality goes, I like what Uganda is doing, but the problem is this. You cannot legislate morality. Only the power of the gospel can change a person's heart to do what's right according to our Maker. So as far as trying to legislate all these laws,
all right,
not
so
change the heart.
And John, I appreciate the first part of what you said, absolutely. And I don't see anything in Scripture that guarantees a future for America any more than for other nations. We're not mentioned in Scripture. But the question would be then, do you let people walk down the street naked? Do you not pass laws against driving while intoxicated? Obviously, we quote, legislate morality, but we can't make people moral by the law. That would be the thing. Hey, thanks for the call, John.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, friends, the first comments that I make when I'm asked about what about this nation, what about the laws in this nation or that nation, the first comment I make is that each nation is distinct. In other words, we cannot look at another nation based on our own culture. We can say there are universal moral principles that we agree on. That would be true. But for example, if you live in India and have had countless generations of arranged marriage, and that's what you expect and that's what you're used to, and the marriages work fine and the divorce rate in India would be lower than America. I know there's some oppression of women that could happen in the midst of this, sometimes extreme. But we think, well, hey, we just kind of chose who we're going to marry and got married, and people in India look at that. What? That's lawless. There's no respect for parents. Well, there are massive cultural differences, just like there are food differences and dress differences and musical differences. And it is arrogant for us to just assume that across the board, we can now tell other nations how they should live and what they should do and should not do. 866-34-TRUTH. So again, with regard to Uganda and laws regarding homosexual practice, this is part of a wide-ranging series of laws that are banning different issues having to do with pornography and even suggestive music videos. Listen to this quote. All right, listen to this quote. This is Ethics and Integrity Minister Simon Lucado. He said, if you dress in such a way that you irritate the mind and excite the people, then you are badly dressed. If you draw the attention of the other person outside there with a malicious purpose of exciting and stimulating him or her into sex, that's wrong, and that will be against the law. All I am saying is this, very, very simply, that you cannot even understand the mindset of the people of Uganda in terms of homosexual practice until you look at the larger view of sexual morality in the culture. And you think a culture, think of this for a minute, a culture that says no miniskirts for women and they don't want suggestive music videos on TV for kids and so on, that culture is going to say, oh, but of course, if two men want to marry, that's perfectly fine. Are you kidding me? 866-34-TRUTH. And let me make clear, friends, we're not just talking about Uganda. We're not just talking about India, where recently the Supreme Court of India overturned a lower court ruling which had opened the door to same-sex so-called marriage in India. The Supreme Court said, no, that's not going to happen. So now that's creating tremendous upheaval. And the party that looks like it's going to come back into power in India is the BJ party, the BJP, which is much more conservative on these issues, but can also be radical Hindu and persecute or allow persecution of Christians. This is the government that looks like it's going to be coming back into power, and they will absolutely stand against redefining marriage. It's part of the conservatism. There's another part, as I said, the militant Hinduism, which is negative. But you have to also understand Indian culture. There are many parts of the world where if a girl had sex outside of wedlock, that she could never marry after that. that she would be shamed. There are parts of the world where the family would actually kill that person. Of course, that's horrific. That's utterly horrific and inexcusable on every level. I'm simply saying that there's that level of shame associated with, say, a teenage girl having sex, whereas it's the norm in our culture. And we're going to lecture the nations. But friends, these things are knocking at our doors. Even if you're in a state that passed a constitutional amendment saying that marriage is the union of a man and woman, this is knocking at your door. Listen to what Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal had to say about this very fact.
It is a war. A silent war, but it is a war against religious liberty. This war is waged in our courts and in the halls of political power.
What we have stepped into now is tyranny, and we're forcing states to accept something that they find morally reprehensible.
All right, that was not the voice of Governor Jindal, but the clips are talking about the war that's coming our way. Coming our way. Knocking at your door, saying you do not have the right to hold to these things. You do not have your right to religious and moral convictions. If you claim to, it is purely discriminatory. Ah, got it. Okay, so is Governor Jindal speaking first? He's the one describing it as a war. When you have the people of the state overwhelmingly pass a constitutional amendment saying marriage is the union of a man and woman. In North Carolina, despite a larger number of Democrats compared to Republicans, and despite the conservative side being outspent by those who wanted to redefine marriage, in North Carolina, the vote was 61% to 39% saying marriage is the union of a man and a woman. And yet it is quite plain. It is quite clear. It is out there in terms of gay activist strategy that these laws will be challenged state by state. Got a bunch more audio clips. Want to play for you. Want to talk about what's happening in Kansas and Arizona. Get your input and feedback on a number of key moral issues. 866-34-TRUTH. Don't cower, though. Don't become afraid and hopeless. Realize this is where we have to stand up and be unashamed. This is the great opportunity to stand up and preach Jesus. This is the great opportunity to stand up and say, we are not ashamed of the gospel and we are not ashamed of God's ways. Friends, as I am here in Nashville, Tennessee at NRB, National Religious Broadcasting Convention, the Broadcasters Convention, there are countless open doors for this radio program. There are countless open doors for us to be on many more stations across America, as well as for our TV show to be on the air. Of course, all these things come down to budget. But what we need to know is this. If I'm speaking to you right now, if you are hearing me on the radio in your particular city, we need to know that it's important to you that we're on the air there. We are listener-sponsored. We are on the air with your help. We are on the air by the will of God working with and through you, and you telling us we want you on the air in our city. So we need to hear from you to know that we're making a difference where you are. We hear constant testimonies, but many just assume that others support. It never occurs to them that we need your help. So I want to encourage you today, if you have been blessed by this radio broadcast, if we are strengthening you, if we are informing you, if you're getting courage and faith through this broadcast, and if you're getting infused with grace towards those that you differ with through this broadcast, if you're getting grounded in the Word, stand with us. Become a torchbearer today. We really do need to hear from you in different cities to know that we should be on right now in your area. Call right now 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. When you become a torchbearer, I send you a gift book as my immediate thank you. You get a new message from us, an audio message every single month, free access to our online classes, and 15% discount in our online bookstore. Hey, put aside a dollar a day to be a revolutionary with us. Become a torchbearer. 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, I want to encourage you that everybody can make a difference. 866-34-TRUTH, Michael Brown, coming your way live from Nashville, Tennessee, in the midst of the National Religious Broadcasters Conference. We are set up to broadcast remotely here so that we could be live with you. And I want to encourage you that everybody can make a difference. I'm talking to you about what's happening in other nations. I'm talking to you about things that are going on in other countries. I'm talking about issues that affect our morality and moral decisions that we're making. But everyone can make a difference by standing up for what is right in their own life. 866-34-TRUTH. In a moment, I want to speak to someone that's going to have a very different take on this than I do. And many of you are listeners do. So, Brody, stay right there. I'd love to speak with you. But first, here's an example of a mother who got upset about something and said, enough is enough. I want to make a difference. Clip number 16.
On our way to another store, we passed the PacSun store, and I just stopped dead in my tracks.
That's because in the store window, there were four T-shirts on display, and each had a picture of a nearly naked woman on it. Some are even too provocative to show on television. So Judy went in and spoke with the manager about taking the display down. The manager, while she agreed with Judy, said the only thing she could do was email the complaint to her corporate managers.
As I was leaving the mall, I just had this thought come to me that I can't leave it. I can't let it stay in the window for three or four more days while someone makes a decision.
Right, so she decides something has to be done, and they're not willing to do anything about these obscene T-shirts that any kid could see walking through the mall. So this is what she ends up doing.
So Judy did the only thing she knew to do. She bought every single explicit T-shirt in the store.
I asked her, I told her it didn't matter what the cost was, that I just wanted every single one, including the displays, to be out of the store.
Fortunately, Judy says they didn't have any stock in the back, so she walked out spending just close to $600.
She really did. I would help pay for her that if I knew her. Yeah. I think she's great.
I showed some shoppers pictures of the T-shirts.
It was so disgusting to me. It's pornography.
Shirts like that should not be where kids can see them. If you're an adult and you want to buy them, that's fine. But that's something that everyone has to go by, and I don't want my kids and my grandkids to have to see that.
So let me ask you a question. You walk through the mall and you see Victoria's Secret, all right? The particular mall that's close to where I live. Go through there. I know where the Victoria's Secret is and where to look away as I walk through. Why is it there? Why are those displays there, objectifying women just as sex objects? And obviously things that, you know, if someone just walked down the hallway in a hotel or down the mall like this, they said, what in the world are you doing? But there are the displays, the central, you know, the only reason they're where they are is A, because they're doing enough business to pay the bills and to make a profit. And B, in terms of the open displays that are there, because not enough people have said this is offensive. You say, well, what are you going to do? Try to, how about this? What if it was nudity there? What if there are pornographic movies shown? Would you then say something? And in other words, everyone has a point where they would say something, and a lot of things go on. A lot of things go on in our culture. A lot of things go on in our society simply because we don't speak up. And we're still, we participate in a lot of the stuff. If those who say that they are born-again Christians would break their pornography habit, they'd probably break the back of the pornography industry in America. Cleanup starts with us, doesn't it? All right, want to talk more about Uganda with someone who's going to have a very different perspective as soon as we come back.
Change It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. We've been talking about, does America have the right to lecture other nations about sexual morality, about marriage, family? I say absolutely, certainly not. And when I was just commenting on Victoria's Secret, what people wear and do in private, if it's not breaking the law, that's their business. I'm talking about the open displays that are shouting at everyone in the mall. You're just there with family and little kids. You may not expose your kids to that at home. You go to the mall or just the checkout counter at the grocery. You got every kind of racy, sensual picture. And that's the world we live in. And yet we are lecturing the nations. Something's wrong with that picture. Let's go to Washington, D.C. Brody, welcome to The Line of Fire. Could you tell our listeners the organization that you work with, sir?
Not a problem. Good afternoon, Dr. Brown. My name is Brody Levesque. I'm the Washington Bureau Chief for LGBTQ Nation magazine. I'm a journalist.
All right. And I'm sure that you have an opinion about what's happening in Uganda.
Well, I was listening earlier in the broadcast, and while you seem to be taking the line that it is an inappropriate thing for the United States to pass judgment on different cultures and societies in this regard, that seems a little disingenuous to me, Dr. Brown, as in the fact that Dr. Lively, who you know, and some other members of the American Christian community were, in all essence, you know, backers and proponents of the measure, although not in its current form. And now suddenly that it has been passed and signed into law, everyone's taking a second look at it. And this is a fairly draconian measure. Now, I understand to a certain degree your argument that, you know, Western/American values probably be best not imposed on other cultures and societies. Yeah, would you not agree with me, Dr. Brown, that in the case of this particular piece of legislation, that's precisely what happened starting 4 years ago when Dr. Lively and Mr. Warren and Reverend Engel visited in Uganda and attended a series of conferences that directly influenced a member of the Ugandan parliament and certain religious leaders?
Yeah, Brody, let me just address that. Were American evangelicals or American fundamentalists behind this law or helped spark it? I had a key African pastor on, Ugandan pastor Martin Sempa. I asked for someone to come on opposite him to challenge his viewpoint, but the gentleman I asked that had been accusing Sempa declined. So I tried to press him, but Martin Sempa was highly offended with the idea that this came from white Americans. He actually found it somewhat racist and said these were moral issues to them for many, many years. Now, Sempa had, at that moment, had someone living in his home, an AIDS victim, and had taken in, reached out in his church and had taken in into his own home those that were same-sex attracted. His issue was not ministry, but he said that these were moral and cultural issues and health issues, especially with spread of AIDS. And he said, yeah, these guys came and did a conference, but in his mind, it was absolutely a drop in the bucket as far as the impact and influence it had. And to him, that was a very arrogant way for Americans to look at things based on what he said the reality was. So I heard that from other Ugandan pastors and leaders as well. So I can't tell you every bit about the origin of it, but I'm fairly sure if you'll go back 5 years, 10 years, 20 years before, you'll see these attitudes were deeply entrenched there. And what Scott Lively actually said was he argued against the death penalty, and he's always argued against that, as you know, as you stated as well. But let me ask you this, Brody. Obviously, I would stand with you against anything that would provoke violence and anger and hatred in society against someone that said they were same-sex attracted. And if you had crowd outbursts or like the horrible things in South Africa, where they're going to rape a lesbian and think they're going to cure her of her homosexuality. These horrors, I'd stand side by side with you against them. But can you see that a nation that wants to outlaw miniskirts and suggestive music videos is going to have quite an issue, say, with homosexual activist curricula in children's schools or redefining marriage. Does that seem that odd to you?
It shifts from being a non-sectarian issue into very much a sectarian issue that becomes political. And I'll answer that question by pointing you in a different area. If you look at current legislation in Russia, all right, and this is a country who, again, has passed legislation that effectively throttles the civil rights of their LGBTQ citizenry, they also are considering legislation that literally outlaws certain types of undergarment and also going after other types of social cultural issues in the name of morality. So I guess my question to you is looking at this, it looks more like this is a political and power play, and forgive me for being cynical because I am a political reporter, versus a religious dogma issue. We've heard suggestions today coming from Kampala that this law can now be used, for example, as a weapon against opposition leaders. As you know, the law provides for 14 years of incarceration and lifetime incarceration for what is termed repeated acts, although I'm not exactly sure how long we get the definition of repeated acts.
Right. Yeah, well, just to answer your question, Brody, which is certainly an appropriate one, first thing is, as far as political reasons for doing different things, well, we see that all over America. Suddenly politicians are now saying, oh, I've had a change of heart about same-sex marriage. Oh, I see things differently. The light's gone on because it's politically expedient in certain parts of the country for the light to go on. Or people are now saying, well, I do stand for this, even though before I opposed it. So we see politics everywhere. And I have no idea what fuels the fire of the president of Uganda. I have no connection with him or relationship with him. But I do know that many of the people speaking into the situation are speaking into it based on moral issues, based on health issues. Again, we can't relate with all the horror we've had of AIDS and with all the decimation of individual lives with AIDS and sexually transmitted disease, men and women, heterosexual, homosexual. We can't relate to what's happened in a country like Uganda and the devastation of this. And when you have the stats are somewhere about 10 times higher of men having sex with men being AIDS transmitters in Uganda, that's a behavior you're going to discourage every way you know how. When you look at the West and you put on one of our, you know, the latest Miley Cyrus video, whatever trash is out there, you say, no, we don't want that. And they look at the whole package of where we're going. And I think rightly so. So there may be some political reasons for it. As for Russia, I don't even begin to understand everything that's happening there in terms of the reasons. You know, you have the high rates of alcoholism, the high rates of abortion, a massive problem with lack of adopting of children and so on and so forth. Then you have the anti-gay propaganda bill and so on. And now the undergarment issue. So there, I do not understand everything that's happening in Russia or what is motivating Vladimir Putin. But I will say this, I absolutely agree. If I could go to every nation in the world, I would say do not follow America's example in these ways. And I guess my question to you, and we have limited time, but because you took the time to call in, sir, I wanted to have this conversation. When you talk about, quote, civil rights, are you saying that anyone that has the right to do what they feel is right to do with their own body or in a relationship, be it, you know, polyamorous or polygamous relationships or same-sex couples or, you know, even across other bounds, as long as it's consensual, do you feel that's a civil right, or am I overstating your viewpoint?
I think you're overstating my viewpoint. What I'm saying in essence is that, you know, and I'm also taking very much into account you know, the fact that there are people who have faith and have belief in various things across the globe, that there are some basic human rights. And it seems to me that if it becomes a cynical political ploy to use morality as a weapon to effect political change, then I would say that's a violation of civil rights. And that's pretty much what I'm looking at in this regard. If you look at the intent of this legislation, it's twofold. And there's something that, you know, and I've read the legislation. I've actually read both pieces of legislation. The most current version of it, we haven't been afforded yet. I will probably get it later today because it's two separate issues. He signed one bill that directly addressed the what you termed the Victoria's Secret bill. There's that, and then there's this bill.
Yeah, I didn't use that term. I happen to make a separate reference to Victoria's Secret.
Okay, hey,
listen,
well,
Brody.
We'll call him
soon. Listen, Brody. I've got a break here. But please, you know I'm on the air. You can hear me on WAVA. Please call again when you have opportunity, and let's continue our discussion. Would you do that? Thank you.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You're not a citizen like everybody else. Maybe, I mean, look, maybe we can do a gay water fountain for you or a gay pool for you, because we can kick you out of the public pools. We can kick you out of all the public restaurants, theaters, etc. I mean, this is full-blown segregation. We're going back to Jim Crow days, okay, but it's for gay America.
Oh, all right. That was the voice of one of the Young Turks speaking about legislation awaiting the signature of Governor Jan Brewer in Arizona. We are told that these are the new Jim Crow laws. We are told that this is out and out discrimination and bigotry against one segment of society. A similar law under discussion in Kansas. We were told that this could deprive even life emergency services for a gay man or woman. 866-34-TRUTH, Michael Brown coming your way live from Nashville, Tennessee, breaking away from the National Religious Broadcasters Conference. I want to bring on a guest that can help us set the record straight. This is Joe LaRue, who is an attorney with the Alliance Defending Freedom, which is based in Arizona. I've got dear friends that are involved working with the ADF, doing an amazing job. Joe, you know this bill inside out. You know the way it's being reported. Could you first tell us the reality of what this bill is about, and then how it is being misreported on a national level?
Sure. And Michael, thank you so much for having me on your show. This bill is being horribly misreported. Let me tell you what it is. SB 1062 is simply a minor amendment to a freedom bill that's been on the books in Arizona since 1999. And it merely clarifies the law protecting Arizonans from government coercion of speech. It safeguards freedom by closing loopholes that have been opened in other states and making sure that those loopholes don't open here in Arizona. And it protects citizens from being forced by the government, not by their employer, let's say, not by a private policy, but being forced by their government to violate their faith. That's what the law does. And let me tell you what the law isn't, okay? It's not anything that the opponents to the law have claimed. For instance, it's not about denying services. The bill has nothing whatsoever to do with refusing someone a cup of coffee or a sandwich or medical care. That's preposterous, and frankly, it's a flat-out lie. And I'm not upset with you, Michael, understand, but it's offensive to people of faith to suggest that people wanting to make sure that their faith is protected is tantamount to denying someone life-saving medical care. That's just offensive.
Well, why is this law even needed? Why do we need to cover the loopholes? Don't we have all the religious liberties and freedoms that we need right now in America?
Well, actually, we don't, and that's part of the problem, Michael. The Supreme Court of the United States ruled in the early 1990s that the Free Exercise Clause that protects our religious freedom, it only has very minimal protection for us. And so in response to that, the federal government passed what is known as the Federal Religious Freedom Restoration Act, or RFRA. They passed that in the early 1990s with overwhelming support. In fact, in the entire Congress, there was only one person who voted against it. Democrats and Republicans came together. The ACLU championed it because religious freedom matters. And a number of states passed their own RFRAs to make sure that religious liberty is protected. Arizona did that in 1999. And none of the sky-is-falling type scenarios that opponents to SB 1062 are talking about, none of those have happened anywhere because of a RFRA.
Well, why do we need this, though? In other words, just to play the devil's advocate, why shore up these loopholes if everything is fine? I mean, the obvious answer is things
sure
aren't fine, from Elaine Photography to Sweet Cakes by Melissa, et cetera. But you are on the front lines of this with the ADF, and you are dealing with cases like this constantly. So is there a real assault on the religious freedoms and liberties of American individuals and American businesses now? Are we saying the sky is falling when nothing's really happening, or are there cases cropping up across America constantly challenging our religious rights and freedoms?
You know, that's a great question, Michael, and I want to explain this in non-lawyer terms for your listeners. It was always thought that RFRA protected us from government's law forcing us to violate our faith. It was always thought that. And understand, RFRA doesn't mean that I win. RFRA just requires the courts to apply a balancing test to determine whether the government really has the right to violate my faith. That's all RFRA does. And it was always thought that RFRA applied any time government's law was being used to burden our faith. That all changed last year. Last year, with the Elaine Photography case, the New Mexico Supreme Court said, if the government is not the one enforcing the government's law, in other words, if a private party sues you using the government's law and says, you have to follow the government's law, the New Mexico Supreme Court said, in that situation, you have no religious liberty protection. And the price of citizenship is that you surrender your religious liberty rights. We find that intolerable. People of faith in America should be free to live and work according to their faith, and that's what SB 1062 is about.
Right, so we are simply talking about the inability of the government to rob people of their religious liberties and their freedom of conscience. And there is an absolute assault coming our way. Joe, I understand you can stay with us a couple more minutes into the next segment, but I just want you to hear this, and then you'll get to respond on the other side of the break. Let's go to clip number 10, Joey. This is John Fuselgang speaking on what he refers to as discrimination in Arizona. So listen to what John Fuselgang has to say, and when we come back on the other side of the break, for those listening into the next hour, Attorney Joe LaRue with the Alliance Defense Fund will get to respond. Just listen to what this liberal TV host has to say.
I found out that Arizona, the only state who has a governor serving on an outpatient basis, is trying to make it illegal to be gay in the name of being Christian. And what kind of anti-Christian bigot would stop me from being an anti-gay bigot? The only problem is Christ himself, the lead character of your book, never said thing against gay people. None of y'all follow Leviticus, so really you have to face the facts that you're not being Christian by discriminating against gay people, because being gay is natural. Hating gay is a lifestyle choice.
All right, so there you have it. If you're unable to listen to the next hour, just go to my website, AskDrBrown.org, and you can do so online or catch it later in the day. Friends, at the root of a lot of the deception and backsliding in America is an exaggerated message, a false security message, a message that doesn't preach against sin. Get my book, Hyper Grace, that addresses this together with a CD offer with it. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. Essential reading. My bottom line today, the war is on. It's knocking at our doors. How will we respond? Is it true that states like Kansas and Arizona are trying to pass Jim Crow laws that are highly discriminatory towards one group of people in the country?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You ever get frustrated? You're watching the news. No, that's not. They're not telling the truth, or that they're putting a spin on it. And you get frustrated, and don't get frustrated, because we'll speak up for you. We'll set the record straight here. We'll be a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity here for you, so that you can stand and you can do what is right. Michael Brown, coming your way live from Nashville, Tennessee. In the midst of the National Religious Broadcasters Conference, the last hour I was raising questions about, does America have a right to speak to other nations about sexual morality and marriage and pressure them, pressure Uganda, and tell them that they're going to be hurt in terms of our aid and support if they pass a bill against homosexual practice? Do we have the right to lecture nations like India or Nigeria or Russia when it comes to sexual morality and family? And right now, there are laws that have been under discussion or on the way to be signed in Kansas and Arizona, most prominently, that would say, among other things, that you cannot force someone to violate their liberties in terms of Kansas, very specifically, same-sex so-called marriage. And if someone came into your bakery and said, we want a cake, and we wanted to say to Tom and Ted, and we want a picture on the cake of the two of us, that the owner could say, that violates my religious convictions. And what's happening now in Arizona is being billed as new Jim Crow laws. I've got some more clips to play for you. But my guest is Joe LaRue. He's a graduate of law school at Notre Dame University. He's part of the bar in Ohio, and is an attorney with the Alliance Defending Freedom. So, Joe, right before the break, so many listeners just listening out didn't hear that, but there was a liberal media host talking about, this is discrimination against one group of people. This is hating gays. Please set the record straight in terms of Arizona. And if you'd like to comment on Kansas as well, that would be great.
Sure, I'd be happy to. You know, I listened to that clip and my mouth dropped open, literally dropped open. I've never heard anything as preposterous as that clip you played. There are so many things that I could say about the clip, but I think it'd be better to just focus on the laws that we're talking about. Everyone has got to understand that there is a difference between selling somebody paint and being forced by the government to use that paint to paint a mural that offends your personal beliefs. There's a difference between those two. And what SB 1062 is about is making sure that the government cannot force you to engage in activity or engage in speech that will offend your religious beliefs unless the law in question that's forcing you to do that can pass this balancing test. That's all it does. The clip you played talked about kicking people out of the state because of how they identify themselves. If they identify as homosexual, that's preposterous. That's not what this law is about. And frankly, that host ought to be ashamed of himself for even suggesting that.
Yeah, well, the fact is, there is going to be inflammatory language used. The fact is, just like Roe v. Wade was based on falsehood, and the argument that Lawrence v. Texas was the whole case started based on false premises and so on. When it comes to just an argument based on truth, those opposing biblical morality are always going to lose. All right, I've got one more segment with my guest, Joe LaRue. I appreciate him taking time out of his busy day. Joe, I got some more clips to play for you. Get ready.
God of light, hear our cry, send God by. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
My guest, Joe LaRue, attorney with the Alliance Defending Freedom, tellADF.org, tellADF.org. A dear friend of mine for many years, Joe Infranco, is a lead attorney with this same organization, and Joe and I often compare notes on these issues. Joe, I've got your blood boiling already in a way of loving truth and loving righteousness. I want our listeners to hear again the words of John Fugelsang on MSNBC. He was on The Up, the name of the show, The Up, with Steve Kornacki. I want you to hear this. And then a state rep from Arizona that was on, Rachel Maddow. So this is what John Fugelsang had to say.
I found out that Arizona, the only state who has a governor serving on an outpatient basis, is trying to make it illegal to be gay in the name of being Christian. And what kind of anti-Christian bigot would stop me from being an anti-gay bigot? The only problem is Christ himself, the lead character of your book, never said a thing against gay people. None of y'all follow Leviticus. So really, you have to face the facts that you're not being Christian by discriminating against gay people, because being gay is natural. Hating gay is a lifestyle choice.
Okay, making it illegal to be gay in Arizona. And one more clip, and then I want to go to Joe LaRue for his extended comments. This is on Rachel Maddow, State Rep Damian Klinko, Democrat from Arizona. Clip number 12, Joey.
I believe I'm the only openly gay member of this House of Representatives, and so it's pretty appalling to hear a dialogue that talks about using religion to discriminate against both myself and my community. In my hometown of Tucson, I could walk out of my home and call a taxi cab and they could refuse me service. I could have a medical incident and somebody comes to my home to provide services and I could be refused. And that's not the Arizona that I want to live in.
All right, Joe, you've showed remarkable restraint not to jump in shouting in the middle of those clips. Please give me your response. Speak from your heart. Take your time.
Sure. Well, Michael, first off, let me say that I encourage all your listeners to pray for the state representative who just spoke, that he would find and experience God's love for him if he doesn't know that. But having said that, let me say he's simply at best wrong, and at worst he's deliberately deceiving the public with regard to what this bill does. This bill is not going to allow a cab driver to refuse to provide cab service. It's certainly not going to allow a medical provider to refuse to provide necessary medical service. That's not what this bill's about. Let me tell you what this bill's about, and let me put this in real concrete terms so your listeners can understand. This bill is about making sure that the government cannot force a Muslim printer to print brochures promoting a conference that criticizes Islam and tell that Muslim printer he will go to jail if he doesn't print those brochures. This is about making sure that no baker who identifies as homosexual can be punished because he refuses to bake a cake for the Westboro Baptist Church that says God hates, and then that horrible slur word that the Westboro Baptist Church uses. Without this law, a baker who identifies as homosexual could be punished for refusing to bake that cake, and that breaks my heart. Nobody should be forced to give voice to that type of speech if they don't want to. This law is about making sure that a Jewish caterer can't be fined because he declines to serve pork at a Christian wedding, and the Christian wants him to serve pork. It's about making sure that the Jewish caterer has a defense to say, my religion will not allow me to do this. It's about making sure that a Quaker who's pacifist can't be intimidated into painting pro-war posters for our government. It's about making sure that faith is respected. It's not just about my faith, Michael, and it's not just about me. This law is about all faith and all people of faith and making sure that their dignity is respected and they are not treated as second-class citizens by their government. That's all the law is about. It's not about denying service. It's certainly not about letting people die. How horrible, that accusation. And comparing it to Jim Crow is just beyond the pale. What this is about is making sure that the government cannot force us to violate our religious convictions unless the government has a really good reason. And the only way the government can accomplish its purpose is by making me violate my faith. And so it provides a balancing test. And sometimes when RFRA is asserted, Michael, the government wins. And the courts hold, you know what, that law really is necessary, and it's necessary applied to you. And sometimes, though, when RFRA is asserted, the government loses. And that means that the right balancing test is struck to make sure that the government can enact laws it needs to benefit the public, but also make sure that the government doesn't overreach and needlessly infringe our First Amendment freedoms.
All right, so you have passionately and with great clarity explained the scope and purpose of this law. I wrote an article similar to this a few months back addressing some of these issues and asking these very questions. Should homosexual owners of a T-shirt shop be forced to print up T-shirts for Westboro Baptist Conference saying some of the things that we would object to? And some of the same examples with Muslims, with religious Jews. So let me play the devil's advocate here for a moment and say, okay, what if you were part of a white supremacist religion and an interracial couple comes in and you own a bakery and they want you to make a cake for them, and they want on the cake, not just for them, but they want the bride to be white as she is and the groom to be black and the little figurines on there. And that person says, no, we don't do that. We don't believe in interracial marriage. And if the answer is yes, but civil rights have been established on that score, then couldn't the gay and lesbian argument be yes, but we have civil rights now and sexual orientation is considered a civil right that cannot be discriminated against? So I'm sure you've been asked these questions 1,000 times, but what's the simple response?
Sure. Michael, it's a great question. And the simple response is that happens so rarely, if at all. It really doesn't even deserve a response, because the Aryan Nation Church, the white supremacist church, is so very small, thankfully, and the bigotry that they espouse is so infrequent that the example that you gave, while our opponents give that frequently, it just never happens. But having said that, if religious liberty means anything, then it must mean that all religions, whether I agree with them or not, are protected. And so if there were someone who really held those views, then they should be able to assert a RFRA defense. That doesn't mean that they'll win. It means that the court will evaluate it by applying this balancing test. And while I find the viewpoint that you described reprehensible, as I'm sure most, if not all, of your listeners do, if someone actually held that religious view, and it was part of their sincerely held religious belief, if they're not entitled to assert a RFRA defense, if they're not entitled to say, my religious beliefs matter, then none of us are entitled to.
Right, and then that's where the larger question would be decided, the balance that you speak of. Hey, one more clip for you to respond to. This is also on Rachel Maddow. 2 days ago, a state rep, Chad Campbell, Democrat, Arizona minority leader, clip number 13.
But the bottom line is, this is an attack on the gay community of the state, period. At one point, African Americans didn't have the protection. At one point, women didn't have the protection. At one point, many, many different classes did not have protection. And that is why we did what we did to correct those wrongs. This is going to be, in the future, we're going to look back on this bill, and people are going to laugh at this bill.
All right, Joe LaRue with the Alliance Defending Freedom. We've got about 1 minute, so get in your last comment in response to that quote.
Sure. Thank you, Michael. I find it preposterous, frankly, and not you, but his comment a little bit insulting. You know, since when is religious liberty about discrimination? Since when is wanting to defend religious liberty equal to bigotry? It's just preposterous what's being said. And the bottom line is this. The government has no business, none whatsoever, telling its citizens what they can't say or what they must say. And the government must be stopped from punishing its citizens for their ideas and beliefs. We are seeing that happen right now in America. And the government must be stopped.
All right, Joe, thank you for the courageous standing for all you do with the Alliance Defending Freedom. Friends, telladf.org. Find out more, and you can make a difference.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I can't imagine what my life would be like if somebody told me that I couldn't marry the person I love. And yet that is what is going on in the state of Florida every day when they tell thousands of men and women that they cannot have what we all want, to marry the one person that we love with all our hearts.
Yep, that's the voice of actress Sharon Gless speaking out in favor of, quote, marriage equality in Florida, encouraging others to join the battle to overturn what the people of Florida said the law should be. Michael Brown, welcome to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Delighted to be with you, coming away live from Nashville, Tennessee at the National Religious Broadcasters Conference. Just had on the air with us Joe LaRue, an attorney with Alliance Defending Freedom, talking about the law that's awaiting the signature of Governor Brewer in Arizona, saying that people cannot be compelled by the government to violate their religious convictions and freedoms, and law in Kansas that very, very specifically dealt with one issue and one issue only, which was same-sex so-called marriage. And yes, I'll continue to say so-called, even if it offends and hurts people that are in same-sex relationships, because marriage is the union of a man and a woman. There is no universal right to marry the person you love, whoever that person is. And I know very few people that actually believe in a universal right for any human being to marry whoever the person is they love. First, let me say this, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Let me remind you again that marriage, by definition through history and by intent, marriage is the union of a man and a woman. Even when you have polygamous societies, it's still the marriage of male and female, not the marriage of two males or two females. So A, B, C, D, E, F, G, that's not arithmetic, that's spelling. 2 + 2 = 4. That's not spelling, that's arithmetic. Marriage is the union of a man and a woman. So no one has a right to redefine marriage based on their romantic attractions and sexual desires. How does that redefine what marriage actually is and has always been? Hence, I'll refer to same-sex so-called marriage, or put marriage in quotes when writing about it, yes, to make that point. But do you actually believe in a universal right for any human being to, quote, marry the one they love? What if it's multiple people? Do they have a right to do it? Plenty of people say they love more than one person. There are even some that are arguing that polyamory is a sexual orientation. I know men that say they are hardwired to be attracted to many women at the same time, and have the ability of loving several different women at the same time. So do they have the right to, if you say, no, it's only one person, well, based on what? Based on what? If it's not male, female, why only two? I've asked that question repeatedly. I asked it when I debated Professor Eric Small on the issue of same-sex marriage, should it be legal at the University of Central Florida. By the way, when we had that debate a few years back, what I was told, five vice presidents of the 60,000 student campus, five vice presidents got involved in the discussion as to whether the event should go on or not. We were only allowed to hold it if we hired four armed police to be there. This is a campus discussion between two professors on same-sex marriage. Should it be legal? And I asked Professor Small the same question I've asked other gay activists and repeatedly on the air. Why only two? If it's not the union of a man and woman, why limit it to two people? What is the rational reason for limiting it to two people? And what is the reason for saying it cannot be consenting adults who are closely related? Let's say it's two brothers. They don't even have the opportunity to bring children into the world with genetic defect, which could happen in incestuous relationships. So why not two brothers? When people say it's icky, I think it's icky for two men to be together or two women to be together, no matter how much they love each other. Is that it, the ick factor? Is that how we make decisions about national law and policy? But I want you to understand something, friends. Please hear me. Please hear me. If somebody in my neighborhood was known to be same-sex attracted, let's say two men were living together. They're not breaking the law. They're living together in my neighborhood. And someone came by and egged their house or painted graffiti on it. I would try to be the first one there to make it clear that this is reprehensible, to speak out against it, to help them clean up and to say, we are here to protect you so that no one can hurt you and attack you. At the same time, I'd say what you're doing is morally wrong. And I will absolutely not fight for you to, quote, have the right to marry that person. But if there's hatred towards you or discrimination against you, of course I'll stand against that, like I would for any other human being. You're a fellow human being. You're created in the image of God as much as I am. We're all fallen. We're all broken. We all need help. Jesus died for heterosexual and homosexual just the same. But please hear me. You may be in a state where you say, hey, well, we're safe and secure because we already passed a constitutional amendment in our state saying that marriage is the union of one woman, one man. No, no, no. There's nothing secure. There's nothing secure because these rules are being challenged. These laws, these amendments are being challenged as unconstitutional in state after state after state. Gay activists have made it clear after the Supreme Court overturned DOMA, Defense of Marriage Act, last year. They made it clear that within 5 years, they would like to see every state in America recognize the union of two men or two women as marriage, regardless of what the people have said and how they have voted. Say, what do we do with, well, you don't get angry, except righteous indignation. You turn to God in prayer and worship. First, recognize He's God. He's God. I've got some audio clips to play for you next half hour that are pretty disturbing, but God is God. Jesus is Lord, sitting enthroned. We get our hearts right in worship. We ask God to give us His heart for those that do not know Him and His heart for those who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, however else they identify. And then we ask for moral courage to stand up for what is right. Friends, one of the messages that is wreaking havoc on our society is a compromised gospel, a what's in it for me gospel. And sadly, the wonderful message of grace is being joined with wrong doctrine and error that is putting many people to sleep in their sin. I wrote a book about it, Hyper Grace. Here at National Religious Broadcasters, I'm having people come up to me online as I'm doing book signings saying, thank you for writing this book. It is so necessary. This book, we must get this book out, recommending it left and right to people. And it's a book for grace lovers. It will exalt the beauty of God's real grace and expose the error. I've also got a terrific audio teaching, Grace, Sin, and the Believer. You can get the book and the CD for just $20 postage paid. If you can help us with additional gift, wonderful. Please do so. But take advantage of this offer. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, that's 1-800-278-9978. Friends, together, we are making a difference.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You'll never guess who I met yesterday when I was doing a book signing at the National Religious Broadcasters Conference here in Nashville, Tennessee. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you, coming your way live from Nashville, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. A gentleman comes up to me and begins speaking. He begins quoting the phone number of the show and part of the introduction. It is the voice. It is the man who every day you hear introducing me as your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. We actually took a video together with him speaking. So I met the man behind the voice introducing me every day. But friends, you know, these are not just words. These are not just words. To the core of my being, I'm committed to a gospel-based moral, cultural revolution. What do I mean? Taking over the society, imposing our morality on others? Nope. What do I mean? A political takeover where we win all the party seats and get the right president in that's going to share our moral values and enforce it on the nation? Nope. Although we should be involved politically and we should support candidates that stand up for what's right. No, I'm talking about Jesus so changing us that in the life and power of the Spirit, we go and bring change to our world. I'm talking about that our lives are so different that people are drawn to Jesus through us. And as their lives are changed, our society is changed. I'm talking about an awakening in the church of such proportion that it shakes the nation. That's what I live for. That's what my heart beats for. And it is my privilege to be with you on the air 5 days a week in total time across the country, 2 hours live daily, 866-34-TRUTH. I've got a few more audio clips that I want to play. I've played quite a few the last hour and a half. And if you missed any part of the broadcast, go to my website later today, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, and click on latest audio. You'll be able to hear the whole show. I got a call from a journalist with gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender organization based in D.C. We discussed the laws in Uganda. Then we had on as a special guest Joe LaRue, an attorney with the Alliance Defending Freedom, setting the record straight about the bill in Arizona and what that is about. I imagine there's an excellent chance that I was the only talk radio host in America that had a gay journalist and an attorney, a Christian activist attorney, on in the same half hour and had a conversation with both of them. Glad we could have the conversation. Obviously, my sentiments very deeply with the position of the Christian attorney, quite naturally. But friends, I just want to speak to you candidly. Can I do that? You know with me, what you see is what you get. You know we don't have a lot of hype here. Oh, we'll get into heavy-duty issues and stir your hearts, but we tell you the truth. Here I am at NRB and meeting people day and night. We have opportunities to be on many more stations across America. We have opportunities to expand our TV broadcasts across America and really around the world. All of this is a matter of funding and budget. And we need to know the stations that we're on right now, wherever you're listening to me on the radio right now, we need to know that you want this broadcast in your city, that you want it in your region, that you feel that we're making a difference, and that there would be a real void if I was not speaking to you day by day. We need to hear from you so that we know that this is a station that we should be on, because we are totally listener-sponsored. In other words, we do not have funds to pay to be in a city where the listeners are not interested in us being there. And everybody thinks, you know, well, someone else is doing it. Well, maybe you're the one to do it. Why not become a torchbearer today? Hold our hands up, and then together, everything we do is together. Put aside a dollar a day, $30 a month, become a torchbearer. We'll send you a new audio message every month, a special thank you gift of a book. You get free access to my online classes, 15% discount on online bookstores. So call right now. Stand with us, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978, or sign up on the website, askdrbrown.org.
Fire we need, and the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Are you signed up to get our updates on Facebook and to see the latest messages, articles, audio that we posted? Have you read my article, What Are They Smoking in Colorado? Oh, yeah. Everybody listening in Colorado, you need to read that. Go to AskDrBrown.org. Click on latest article. But if you just sign up on our Facebook page, go to my website, AskDrBrown.org. Click on the Facebook icon. Or if you're on Facebook, AskDrBrown, AskDR Brown. I just click to look at the latest stats. So far this week, the posts that we've put online, people that have visited, people that have seen posts we've posted, we have reached over 1.5 million people, almost 1.6 million people on Facebook. If you wonder why we don't respond to all your comments, well, we've had over 12,000 comments just on the Ask Dr. Brown site. We've had over 23,000 and a half shares. We've had over about 80,000 likes on things posted. So we've got every day great little posts and article links and quotes and inspirational thoughts. And you know what we posted today? 866-34-TRUTH. We posted a quote from Margaret Sanger from a letter of hers in 1939. Terribly disturbing, but we thought it was important to post for people to read, where she explicitly said, we don't want the word to go out. Margaret Sanger, founder of Planned Parenthood, 1939. We don't want the word to go out that we want to exterminate the Negro population. Many people saw that for the very first time today on our Facebook site. 866-34-TRUTH. What about this quote from Pastor Andy Stanley? This was with regard to the law in Kansas that would have made it impossible for the government to force someone to violate their religious convictions. Again, two women come in, they want a wedding cake for their same-sex, quote, marriage ceremony, and the owner says, I'm a committed Christian, can't do that, that the government would not be able to force them to or penalize them. It's very narrow in focus. It gets billed as Jim Crow laws and so on and so forth. And Pastor Andy Stanley, leader, the son of Charles Stanley, leader of one of the largest churches in America, North Point Ministries, he told Kirsten Powers that he finds it, quote, offensive that Christians would leverage faith to support the Kansas law. Serving people we don't see eye to eye with is the essence of Christianity. Jesus died for a world with which he didn't see eye to eye. If a bakery doesn't want to sell its products to a gay couple, it's their business, literally, but leave Jesus out of it. What do you think of that? What do you think about what Pastor Andy Stanley had to say? He finds it, quote, offensive that Christians would leverage faith to support the Kansas law. By the way, we invited him to address this or to clarify his comments, but he's busy, and I'm sure he gets thousands of media-related requests over the years and is unable to take many of them. So I'm not saying that he's refusing to address this issue, simply saying we gave him the opportunity to, and it was declined by his office. He finds it offensive that Christians would leverage faith to support the Kansas law. He said, serving people we don't see eye to eye with is the essence of Christianity. Jesus died for a world with which he didn't see eye to eye. If a bakery doesn't want to sell its products to a gay couple, it's their business, literally, but leave Jesus out of it. What do you think about his reasoning? Here's some of the liberal attack on the Kansas law. This is from the Young Turks. Is the name simply pronounced Senk, C-E-N-K? I read all the stuff. I never hear the names. Or is it different pronunciation? Senk Uyghur, if I'm totally brutalized the name, my apologies. But, hey, we differ. Anyway, try to brutalize my name. A little harder to mispronounce Michael Brown, huh? Clip number 9. This is what one of the Young Turks has to say about the Kansas law.
Any government employee
is given explicit permission to discriminate against gay couples. Not just county clerks and DMV employees, but literally anyone who works for the state of Kansas. If a gay couple calls the police, an officer may refuse to help them if interacting with a gay couple violates his religious principles. State hospitals can turn away gay couples at the door and deny them treatment with impunity. Gay couples can be banned from public parks, public pools, anything that operates under the aegis of the Kansas state government. That's it. Segregation is back.
How about misrepresentation is back? How about deceptive reporting is back? How about scare tactics are back? It's, none of that is what the law is about. But the only way to really combat it is to misrepresent what it's about, correct? 866-34-TRUTH. So in response to that law, again, being misrepresented, Pastor Andy Stanley said, serving people who don't see eye to eye with is the essence of Christianity. Well, who's talking about not serving people? Who's talking about not serving people? You're not saying that if two gay men walk into your bakery holding hands and say, we want a cake. It's my partner's birthday. We want a birthday cake. Make the person a birthday cake. If they say, we want you to participate in the celebration of our, quote, marriage. Well, I can't do that in conscience. You serve everybody. But you are not complicit with violating your conscience. You say, oh, that's just hypocritical. That's just self-righteous. Okay, then how far does the argument go? Let's say that the vast majority of you listening to me agree that late-term abortions are wrong and barbaric. Somebody's saying all abortions, fine, but late-term abortions in particular. So what if your job was to deliver equipment to the abortion clinic that you know is going to be used to barbarically kill a baby, late-term pregnancy, kill that baby in the womb? Well, we serve everybody. Hey, serving people we don't see eye to eye with is the essence of Christianity. Let's say it's during the days of slave trade, and you are asked to manufacture shackles. And these shackles are now going to be used for the slaves. You oppose slave trade with every fiber of your being, to the core of your being. Is it Christian? Well, we got to serve everybody as Christians. What if two brothers come in to the bakery and say, you know, we're 30 years old. We've decided to come out of the closet. I've actually read questions of two brothers or closely related people writing to a column saying, hey, we need some advice here because we're in a long-term relationship and no one knows it. They just think we're brothers living together. What should we do? Should we tell our families? Well, hey, sir, you just serve people. Serve people who don't see eye to eye with it. It's the essence of Christianity. Someone comes into your print shop and they ask you to print up brochures to distribute at an atheist rally mocking the Bible and mocking Jesus, and they want some vulgar picture that they've put together, you know, some horrifically vulgar picture of some extreme vile atheist. I know there are many atheists that are not extreme vile. I'm just giving an extreme example. Hey, we just serve people. We do it. And on and on and on and on. Jesus died for a world with which he didn't see eye to eye. Yeah, he died for the world, but he didn't sanction what the world did. One thing to lay your life down for someone, bring them the gospel, make sacrifice for them to know the Lord. And hopefully we're doing that one way or another every day of our lives, putting others first to bring the gospel to them. It's another thing by your actions to sanction something that you believe is wrong or to participate in something that you believe is wrong. If a bakery doesn't want to sell its products to a gay couple, it's their business, literally, but leave Jesus out of it. They're not saying they won't sell their products. They're saying that they will not participate in the same-sex marriage, so-called. What if you're a photographer? Like Elaine Photography, the case in New Mexico. We talked about it in last hour with Joe LaRue, an attorney from the Alliance Defending Freedom. Okay, a photographer is posing couples. You go to a wedding, and the photographer, okay, we want you here, okay, and here's the bride kissing the groom, okay, we need this, and feeding, you know, the cake in each other's mouth, okay, we need a romantic shot here, and now you're going to be posing two men or two women when it's a violation of your conscience, and you're going to be penalized for doing that? Or as Andy Stanley says, hey, do it, but leave Jesus out of it. How do you leave Jesus out of it? How do you leave Jesus out of it when Jesus is the very one that fuels the fire of the conviction of your own heart? When Jesus is the very one that motivates you to stand up for what is right and to care about people and say, hey, I cannot participate in something which I know is wrong in God's sight. So I may write an article with some honest questions for Pastor Andy Stanley, since he's not available to speak about these directly. I'm not diminishing the fine work he does in so many respects. This is a public quote from a public Christian figure that I think needs to have some questions raised in association with it. 866-34-TRUTH. Be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, I got a bunch more audio clips. Maybe we'll save them for another day. I've got folks that are holding. I want to get to some calls. Michael Brown coming away live from Nashville, Tennessee at the National Religious Broadcasters Conference. I will be, God willing, broadcasting from three different locations in the States this week, all high quality with our portable radio unit and our amazing team. Thanks, Joey, Dwight, Matt, for the great work today. Let's go to Philadelphia with Ron. Hey, Ron, I met last night with Russ Whitney, who's the station manager of your great station there in Philadelphia. And boy, does he love his listeners. Just wanted to mention that to you.
Thanks. I've been listening to some of the stuff you said, and I'm just wrestling with whether or not it's our responsibility to, I don't know how to say this, but it seems as if what you're stating is the right thing to do. It sounds like condemnation. I'm not sure that condemning someone's behavior is synonymous with standing up for one's faith. When I look at what how Jesus dealt with sinners in the Bible, he was very compassionate and often was very clear in saying that condemnation was not his purpose.
Just explain what condemnation is.
Well,
if someone comes in, let's say they ask you to please drive them to get an abortion that they just decided, they found out that it's a boy and they really don't want a boy, they wanted a girl, so they decided to abort the baby and the taxi is late and it has an appointment. Would you please take them? Would you take that person?
Would I take them to get an abortion?
Yep.
I'm not sure about that scenario, but if I were asked to do that, I'm not sure that my response would be, I'm not taking you because abortion is wrong, and no, I don't agree with what you're doing, and therefore no. Instead, I think the conversation would be different, much like, you know, Jesus did with the woman at the well. You know, he talked to her about...
But that's the whole thing, Ron. In other words, you don't know what the conversation was. You don't know, for example, in the case of Baron L. Stutzman, who's a florist that had, as I understand it, homosexual employees that served many people that she knew were openly gay, never had a problem for years. And when a guy comes in and says, hey, I'm getting married or having a commitment ceremony with my partner, and there's no one we want to do the floral arrangement more than you. This is an older woman, what, in her 70s or something? She takes him by the hand, you know, expresses her love, but I can't do this. We're not talking about condemning people and you're going to hell because you're doing this. We're saying, hey, I would serve you any way I could, but I'm sorry, I can't do that. In other words, I think you're reading something into it. And I appreciate what you're saying, Ron. There's a Jesus way to approach things, which has a certain wisdom with it. but is absolutely uncompromising. He did not condemn the woman to be stoned and said, I don't condemn you. But then he said, go and sin no more. So that that's the issue there. Okay, just back to you real quick for the last word.
I'm just saying that the going to the level of stoning, that would be kind of what you're asking people to do by not putting the figurines on the cake.
Okay, got it. So if a couple says we do not support same-sex marriage, and they say, sorry, we can't put Tom and Ted on the cake, it violates our convictions, that's the equivalent of stoning someone? I think you need to really do some serious thinking about that, Ron. With all respect, I really encourage you to do some serious thinking, because that's a far-fetched comparison, quite honestly. Give it some thought, sir. I appreciate the call. Let's go to Pat in Charlotte, North Carolina. Thanks for holding. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Ramboy. You are ringing my bell.
I'm glad to hear that.
Well, you know, I've been on Facebook, and it just seems in the last 3 or 4 weeks I've had some friends that have been standing up, you know, for their stand on homosexuality, thinking that it's okay. And, you know, when you're talking about condemnation just a second ago to the fellow from Philadelphia, it's amazing to me the way this our message is getting twisted. You know, if we say that we're against homosexuality, all of a sudden we're condemning people. And, I put this thing on Facebook, and I've really been getting, I guess this is some timing or something here, I don't know, but I started doing some research on statistics regarding AIDS and went to the Center of Disease Control in Atlanta, and there have been 650,000 deaths from AIDS in this country. And there are 50,000 new cases of AIDS every year. And 20% of the people who are carrying the AIDS infection are unaware that they even have the AIDS infection. And, you know, the NFL will do random tests on their football players for anabolic steroids. And they did 14,000 last year. And what I'm wondering is, why in the world is there not a law passed with this epidemic disease that we have that's a killer? It says, okay, if you want to come out and say you're homosexual, that's fine.
There are a couple of issues. And, Pat, thanks for your comments. I've just got to jump in because I'm short on time. Of course, this is not an exclusively homosexual issue. It has a disproportionately high percentage of occurrence among men who have sex with men. That's a fact, and it's rampant with young men as well, which is even more alarming. It is a larger problem than just that. However, the simple fact is that when you give any warnings about this, you are immediately a homophobic bigot who hates gay people and wants them to die, as opposed to you care about people and want them to live. Hey, Pat, thank you for the call. You know, there was a major organization that helped people, Network Ministries, helped people dealing with unwanted same-sex attraction, and one reason it collapsed was because of the hyper-grace message, the exaggerated message of grace that goes beyond Scripture, that even says, hey, two men are together, as long as they profess faith in Jesus, they're still in. I wrote a whole book on the hyper-grace message. Here at NRB, I'm running into many people thanking me. I was almost late for an appointment, people thanking me for writing the book and the importance of it. And it's a book that exalts grace. We've put it together with an important audio CD, Grace, Sin, and the Believer, a life-giving message with the book. Get it today, $20, postage paid, and you'll help us as you do it. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Once more, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, just because people call the truth hate, don't let that stop you from speaking the truth in love.